Tonight's shir should be b'schus refuah shleima for Shlomo ben Shena Zelda b'soch shar chol Yisrael. Okay, so b'siyata d'shmaya, over the next couple of minutes, we're going to be learning a little bit more about making Shabbos early. Last week, we began to have a little bit of an understanding between this important machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra with regards to Bein HaShemashos and when that falls out and how we view Bein HaShemashos. And we'll touch upon that again. Then we'll talk about accepting Shabbos early and potential problems. And then we'll discuss, lastly, making early Shabbos and how does everyone in the house have to go about being Mekabel Shabbos early. In other words, when let's say one's husband goes out to shul to make early Shabbos, I don't know what times, like the 6:15 or the 6:30 or the 7, whenever the shuls make early Shabbos, so is everyone else in the house bound to that Kabbalah Shabbos, or can you be Mekabel Shabbos whenever you want? And so that's what we're going to spend the next couple of minutes investigating. So let's start with the beginning. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, and this is something I think we touched on last week, with regards just to the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. Yesh omrim, shetzarech lahosif mechol al hakodesh. There are those that say, and really it's kimat everybody except the Rambam. The Rambam holds that there's no mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. This is based on the psukim, the Torah, telling us that there is a chiyuv of inoy of Yom HaKippurim, the inuyim that we observe on Yom HaKippurim. So they actually are supposed to be chal, they're supposed to take effect on the 9th. The 9th isn't Yom HaKippurim. Kamash Malon, we see that there's this notion of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, and not just for Yom HaKippurim, but many assume that applies to all days of Shabbos, Shabbason, all days of rest, all Yom, there's a notion of Tosefes Shabbos. The Rambam only paskins that vis-a-vis Hilchos Yom HaKippurim and says that's a din unique to Yom Kippur, but it shouldn't be extrapolated and superimposed into Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, fine. So the Shulchan Aruch, who almost always is going to follow the Rambam, is saying this really in deference to the Rambam, right? Yesh Omrim Shetzarech Lahosif. Really, everybody holds of a mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos, except the Rambam. So out of respect to the Rambam, he couched it in a way of Yesh Omrim, then, you know, there are those who say that there's a chiyuv, but we should understand that it's kimat everybody holds that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. What is that Zman Tosefes Shabbos? So Zman Tosefes, Zehu Mitchilas Hashkia, it's from when the sun sets at Shkia, She'in Hashemesh Niris Al Haaretz, you can't see the sun anymore, Ad Zman Bein HaShemashos, until Bein HaShemashos. We discussed last week what exactly is Bein HaShemashos. So let's see, let's test everybody. Who does the Shulchan Aruch follow? V'hazman hazeh, what is the time? Shehu gimel milin uravia, it's 3 1/4 mil. Ratzelasos kulo tosefes ose, ratzelasos menek miktsas ose. Meaning, from shkia until tzis, so there's 3 1/4 mil of time period, let's say, right? I think we called that 58 and a half minutes, where you could do whatever you want. You want to be set, you want to be Mosef and say it's Shabbos? Great. If you don't, that's also okay. As long, bilvad, she Yosef Ezezman, she Yehevada Yom Mechol Al HaKodesh. As long as you do just a drop, as long as you just add a little bit of Husafa of Tosefes Shabbos, that's fine. And what is the shear of Bein HaShemashos? So he paskins it's 3/4 mil, which we said is 13 and a half minutes from last week. Okay, so that's the Shulchan Aruch seems to be following the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. As he says, this man of Tosefes is anywhere from Shkia until Bein HaShemashos, which is that 58 and a half minute time period. Again, you can be Mosif as much as you want, as little as you want, as long as there is some sort of Hosafa. The Mishnah Berurah says that really, ideally, you should be Mosif 20 to 30 minutes. Without getting into that right now, others paskin 2 minutes, a little bit. You have a lot of shittos out there. The Mishnah Berurah does say, and I think this is important. This happens to me frequently. I think like as I'm walking to shul, I think I've made it, and we'll see why that's problematic also. But as I'm walking to shul erev Shabbos, I say, oh, it's perfect. I think in my mind to a sefer Shabbos. No, the Mishnah Berurah says, Hainu al yedei dibor shuhu mekabel olav l'shem to a sefer Shabbos. Really, you should be saying, you have to articulate, you have to verbalize that you are being Mekabel Shabbos, or, O al yedei amiras baruchu, meaning if you're in shul and you're saying baruchu, mizmer shel yom haShabbos, something like that, that would also affect a Tosefes Shabbos. Fine. What are the potential problems of Tosefes Shabbos? So I just mentioned, sometimes I'm on the way to shul, right? I'm walking up Tui, you know, the house is kind of calm, I'm not leaving my wife with the house up in flames, figuratively, right, with the kids going crazy and everything like that. And okay, things are calm. I can go to shul, givaldik. And you know what? I'm feeling so good. You know, chaprayin tosefes Shabbos. And then I say, oh, Shrek, what's the problem? I didn't daven mincha yet. So what just happened? I did tosefes Shabbos, right? This was not one of the nafkaminas we mentioned last week. We mentioned a lot of fancy nafkaminas. I think 7 or 8 nafkaminas last week. Whether or not we view the extra part of the day as the next night, or is it still the day? Sfiras Omer, Lulav and Esrog, Tikkat Shofar, v'chule. But right now on a regular Shabbos, you're walking up Tui, you're walking down Tui. I don't know what direction you're coming from, but it's got to be on Tui because there's so many shuls, right? But the point is that you're thinking, oh, great. So Sefer Shabbos, and you think, oh, shoot, I didn't daven mincha yet. So what do you do? Can you still daven mincha since it's technically Zman? Or no, since you're Mekabel Shabbos, now it has a chalos of Shabbos, you cannot daven mincha anymore. That's the question. So we should know that, first of all, lichatchila, the way the shuls have it set up, is that when you daven mincha in shul on a Friday night, so mincha is usually at a time early enough to be able to finish with enough time to be mekabel Shabbos, right? So if cheshbon how it all works out, but the point is that usually shuls will make sure that you will finish mincha in order to have even just a little drop of tosefes Shabbos, and that should be fine. However, the shmir Shabbos kehuchas of paskins, let's say you're in the middle of, well, let's say like this. Let's say you know what the shul's like. And if you think that the shliach tzibor is going to be taking his time, let's say, and you won't have enough time to be mekabel Shabbos b'tosefes, so he says it's actually better to daven mincha b'yechidus and be able to be mekabel tosefes Shabbos. Right? It's a very interesting psak. If the shul has the zmanim a little bit, you know, they fudge the zmanim a little bit, so it's better to daven mincha b'yechidos, right? Again, if you can daven mincha early, that's, you know, even better. But if you can't daven mincha early, and you're going to be davening mincha, you know, at the proper time, better to daven mincha at home b'yechidos, and then be mekabel Shabbos on your walk to shul, something like that, like we were just mentioning before. That's better, because tosefes Shabbos is a din d'oraisa, and it's better to do that, and make sure you chaperayin that tosefes Shabbos. But, according to the Shmir Shabbos Kehochasa, that if one, let's say we'll call it pulling a Meir Simcha, where they're in Mekabel Shabbos and realize, oh my gosh, I didn't daven mincha. So the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa says you really shouldn't be davening mincha, right? It's Shabbos for you for all intents and purposes, and you missed out on mincha, and really you would have to daven a Tfilas Tashlumim after Mariv, which is a fascinating psak of the Shmir. I mean, it makes a ton of sense, but it's fascinating in the sense that this happens to me probably relatively frequently, and I'm happy we're doing Chazara and learning this together now to make sure that I'm not mekabel Shabbos before davening mincha. However, Rav Moshe Sternbach is one of the he is the Av Beis Din of the I think Bedatz Ida Charidos in Yerushalayim, if I'm not mistaken. He says it depends on the manner of your tosefes Shabbos, meaning one can still daven mincha if you simply made a verbal declaration. For sure, if, you know, I thought about it in my mind, like, great, I'm going to be Mekabel Shabbos. So he says that's for sure okay. And even if you say, I'm being Mekabel Shabbos, he holds you can still daven mincha. He holds you have to do a maisa, you have to do an action, you have to make a move to show, to declare, to convey that it's really Shabbos. L'mashal, if you lit Shabbos candles. If you lit Shabbos candles, then it's a game over. One maisa like that will really clearly signify that it's Shabbos for you, but simply saying something that's not necessarily Shabbos, and would be okay to daven mincha then. Okay, so just a quick summary. We spoke about the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kabbalah Shabbos, not Kabbalah Shabbos, Tosefes Shabbos, excuse me. You're supposed to articulate your Kabbalah Shabbos according to the Mishnah Berurah, and we spoke about this idea of accepting Shabbos early, realizing you haven't davened mincha yet. Now, there's an interesting question in terms of the nature of Tosefes Shabbos. Not just, as we said last week, is your Tosefes Shabbos going to be the next day, or is it still Friday? But is it like a neder? Right? Let's explain that. Does it create my own halachic reality? Or is it not b'toras neder? And it's a real, objective, in full force halachic reality. Right? What's the difference between something being my own subjective halacha versus objective halacha? So the nafka mina that the post can point out is whether or not I'm able to do hataras nedarim. Right? This is just like a little bit of lumdus, understanding the mechanics. But let's say I was Mekabel Shabbos early, there was Tosefes Shabbos there, and then again I said, oh my gosh, I forgot to daven mincha. So if you hold that it's really just B'toras Neder, So then I can do Hataras Nedarim, and I can basically undo my Tosefa Shabbos, I can undo my Kabbalah Shabbos, I'm able to daven Mincha, and then I make Shabbos when I make Shabbos. But if you hold it's a new objective halachic reality, so then Hataras Nedarim doesn't really help you in any way. So this is actually quoted in the glosses on the Shulchan Aruch by Rabbi Akiva Eger. Hagon Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes two different achronim. He quotes a Levush who thought it is Bitaras Neder, and therefore you can undo your Tosefa Shabbos. But he then notes the El Yerabah who says it's not so pashit to do that. So what do we do? So the Orchos Shabbos, we've quoted before in the past, if I'm not mistaken, the Orchos Shabbos, again, is kind of like a modern-day Shmir Shabbos Kehochasa, in the sense that it's like a little bit like the Bible of Hilchos Shabbos. For sure, the Shmir Shabbos takes the cake, but in terms of modern contemporary Sfarim, the Orchos Shabbos is an exceptional sefer, and if you're learning Hilchos Shabbos in a very real way, so it's critical to have the Orchos Shabbos. It's an incredibly helpful sefer. It's very clear, organizes things very, very nicely. Of course, he quotes the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos, you know, basically every page, every other page, but he lays it out all very clearly. And he says, according to Poskim Bizmaninu, again, he collects some of the more contemporary Poskim of our generation, so he says you shouldn't really rely on the Hataras Nedarim. Again, Rabbi Akiva Eger quoted a Machlokes HaPoskim. So he says, really, really, you shouldn't rely on the Hataras Nedarim factor. But he says that's really true for mundane things. Meaning, I don't know, you forgot to, let's say, take the laundry out of the washing machine and put it into the dryer. That's obviously the first thing that came to my head because I always forget to do that, right? Okay, fine. Chatayani maskir hayom over here. But if, let's say, you wanted to do Hataras Nedarim in order to daven mincha, meaning if it's a mitzvah activity, so then that would be permissible. Hataras Nedarim to undo Shabbos, to rely on this, you know, this suffix over here, just to, I don't know, what is the last couple of things you wanted to do? Flip the switch on or off, or whatever the case may be, and it's really not such a big deal, so don't do that. But Hataras Nedarim for a real mitzvah, that would be okay. So that's just another, again, a little bit in terms of Hataras Nedarim. And just Agav, once we're mentioning Nedarim and being be careful with our words, I just heard a story today in school. This is, I guess, a comic relief here. But Rabbi Rosenbaum, who many of us are familiar with, and I are, you know, often with the guys, schmoozing with the guys, not just in the shiur room, but in lunch and in the afternoons and things like that. And kids often say, you know, I swear to God, you know, this, that, the other thing, trying to make their point. And Rabbi Rosenbaum and I always tell them, don't swear to God. If you learn Maseches Nedarim, that's a very, very dangerous thing. And even saying it in English, that could have a real halachic effect. So I heard a story that there was a Rebbe in the school a couple of years ago. A kid in his shiur got super upset at another kid. This kid kept on, you know, let's say Reuven, kept on bothering Shimon, kept on, you know, chepering him. And Shimon screamed out. He said, I promise you. He said, I swear to God, I promise, whatever it was. He said, I promise you, if you bother me one more time, I'm going to kill you and your family. And the Rebbe screamed, say Bli Nether, say Bli Nether. I was like, I'm not... Whatever, it was a good bit, I guess. But okay, we should be careful with our words nonetheless. So, after that, let's move on. Again, let's quick chazara. We spoke about Tosefa Shabbos. We spoke about potential problems of being Mekabel Shabbos without davening Mincha. And then we spoke about what's the nature of the Tosefa Shabbos and whether or not you'd be able to undo it. Now, let's get to the more exciting topic for tonight's shiur. So first of all, when can, or how early can one be Mekabel Shabbos? There's a certain rav in the neighborhood, and I think we spoke about this in the context of preparing foods for Shabbos, where we spoke about having the Thursday night challah, and how maybe that's a chil Shabbos, because challah is supposed to be a Shabbos food. And we mentioned that several months ago. So, I don't know, let's say you're sitting around the post-mishmar with a challah and a kugel, and you say, well, you know, like, I love Shabbos. You know, like, let's be Mekabel Shabbos now. Can one be Mekabel Shabbos on Thursday night, Friday? Like, what's going on here? So the Ramah tells us in Siman Reish Samach Aleph that if one wants to be Mekabel Shabbos, they can do so from Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha and on, it's okay. What's Plag HaMincha? So Plag literally means like a pluga, like a part of. So if you have a perfect day, sunrise at 6 a.m., sunset at 6 p.m., so it's going to be an hour and a quarter before sunset, so that's going to be at 4:45. So what's the significance of Plag HaMincha though? Right? We always hear growing up, like, oh, Plag, when's Plag? When's Plag? We're making Shabbos a Plag. What is Plag? What's going on? What's the significance of Plag HaMincha? So it's a Gemara in Brachos Chav Vav. Daf, I think it's Chav Vav Amir Aleph, if I remember correctly. And as machlokes the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanon hold, you can daven mincha up until shkia. Okay? Mincha all day long up until sunset. Once it's sunset, it's no longer that day. And then you daven Maariv after shkia. Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says you can begin davening Maariv any time after plag ha-mincha. Okay? What's the nature of that machlokes? So Rabbanon say mincha is any time during the day, like we just said, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that mincha follows the karbanos, right? So you can start mincha earlier on in the day, and once you get to plaga mincha, basically, so then already you can be davening Maariv. So the Gemara says you can do either one you want. This is a really wild Gemara. Usually you don't have it. Usually you have a machlokes, and you look for the psak halacha, right? It's not like, here are two options, do whatever you want. But the Gemara actually says, do whichever one you want. And because of that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can start Shabbos at plaga mincha. Now, how does this impact our tefillah? So let's get a little share screen. Let's make sure we're on the right page here. So here we go. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Dafila Nogin L'spalo, can everyone see where I am? Thumbs up? Yeah, we're good. Just want to make sure I'm sharing the screen. Da'afilu hanogin l'spalo Maariv bizmana, mutarim l'spalo b'leil Shabbos mi ba'od yom. Even though during the week you daven Maariv well after sunset, well after nightfall, so you're allowed to daven Maariv on Friday night, mi ba'od yom, al still the day, u'bavad shihiye mi plag ha-mincha ve'ilech. As long as it's after plag ha-mincha, it's totally okay. Why? The cave in the mitzvah la'hosif mechol al ha-kodesh, since there is a mitzvah to do Tosefes Shabbos, ukvar kibel Shabbos alav, yachol lismoch al dasa sovrim, dehevei kelaila le'inyin tefila. So, based on this opinion, once you're being Tosefes Shabbos, you need Tosefes Shabbos, you want to do Tosefes Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to do Tosefes Shabbos, and you're mekabel Shabbos, so we can rely upon this opinion, i.e. Rabbi Yehuda, to now daven Maariv. However, it's very, very important, achanoheg kein, someone who does this, who's going to be davening Maariv after Plag HaMincha, so it's very important that you don't mix and match. Yizahir al koponim be'erev Shabbos lehispalo mincha kodem Plag HaMincha. If you're davening Maariv after Plag, but before sunset, right? So you look outside, it's still daytime, the sun hasn't gone down. So you can only be davening Maariv in that time period if you've davened Mincha before Plag HaMincha, in order that you're not davening two tefillos in the same time period, right? So just think about it logically. If you were to daven Maariv, I'd say like this, if you daven Mincha after Plag, and then you daven Maariv, and it's not nightfall yet, so then that's a steer. It's as though one of those tefillos has not been davened at the appropriate time. Everybody with me on that? So that's why we want to make sure that we're timing the tefillos properly. Very often in some of these minyanim, like let's say a 7:15 minyan this past week, so with mincha, chazar shashat, maybe a nicer Kabbalah Shabbos, so you can get to Maariv really by shkia already, and then you're good. So, or you'd have to move it up, right? Make sure that mincha is before plag, right? Daven mincha at, I don't know, I guess, I don't know what this minyanim are right now, but 6:15, 6:30. And by the time you get once you hit plag mincha, right, you finished mincha, by the time you get the plug, so now you can daven Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv. That's really what's going on there. Now, the Mishnah Berurah also comments, though, and this is an important line, so we'll pull it up again over here. Sometimes there are taka communities that, they always have a 7 o'clock Shabbos, let's say, no matter what's going on. Once they start making early, it's 7 o'clock every week. And sometimes that's problematic in terms of the Zmanim. So he goes quoted, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Yesh Omrim, the Bitzibur Yesh Lahokel Hispalo Maariv mi ba'od yom afim hispalo mincha achar plaga mincha. Bidi Eved, he says Yeshal mi lismoch, v'nir li she'ein lismoch alza. Really you shouldn't be so mech on that. If you can, find a different minion, daven at a different time, but Bidi Eved it would be okay. It happens to be at least maybe let's first understand that Yesh Omrim that says it's okay to daven both of them within the same time period, because maybe you can conceptually understand it to be that once you daven Maariv, so it has a new chalos, meaning you're basically affecting a new day with your halachic glasses, right? So even though you daven mincha after plag, it's not yet sunset, so it's not objectively the next day. By starting Maariv, you're basically accepting the new day. So that's maybe one way to conceptualize that Yesh Omrim. Now it happens to be Rav Shechter holds it's better to daven mincha b'yechidus before plaga mincha, and then daven Kabbalah Shabbos and Mariv by the plag, right? Understanding that the idea that we quoted from the Mishnah Berurah earlier tonight, that Tosefes Shabbos is a din d'oraisa, so better to daven mincha b'yechidos earlier on in the day, and daven Kabbalah Shabbos Mariv at the appropriate time by plag. It happens to be also parenthetically, although I didn't look this up or call my friend before, or maybe I called my friend and didn't answer, but if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter also holds that if the shul is going to be davening mincha Kabbalah Shabbos in a tarte desasri time, so and you didn't daven an early mincha, he holds it's, I think, double check, but I think he holds that it's best to daven mincha and then wait to daven Marv later. Meaning you can do mincha and you can do then Kabbalah Shabbos, because again, Tosefa Shabbos, but it's hard to daven Marv because not next, I think that's his understanding. If I remember correctly, my friend, he once came over when we were in YU and he is a Talmud of Rav Shechter, and it was in the springtime, and if I remember correctly, he daven Marv b'yechidus after we ate dinner. Because again, this issue of tarte desasri. So whichever way you slice it, it's best to daven either, I guess, mincha before or Marv after. But we should try to find a minion that is in the proper time. Fine. Let's move on to the next topic. Any questions until now? Are things clear? Okay, we're good. No one's unmuting themselves and telling me that I'm totally unclear. So we're going to assume everything's all right for now. Okay, if you have questions, unmute yourself. Put a question in the chat. Okay, here we go. Let's move on then. So now let's talk about the issue of going to shul, right? I'm sure this happens ma'isim b'chol yom in many people's homes. When someone's running out, let's say someone's husband or father is running out to shul, and you know, it's totally not Shabbos in the house yet, but he's going to that early mincha. So the question is, at what point does the house, or is the house mekabel Shabbos? Let's say one's husband goes to the early mincha. So are you, you know, latching onto his Kabbalah Shabbos, or can you kind of do your own thing and be mekabel Shabbos whenever you want? That's the question. So Rav Moshe has a very important shiur. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, it's Chilek Gimel Simin Lamid Ches, has a very important tshuva where he talks about being Mekabel Shabbos at the same time or not at the same time. And he basically says there are three potential issues. First, he initially says, knee-jerk reaction, is that it would seem that there's no difference between that and a regular neder, right? Not like the student took the other day, but it's not like the neder, right? If a husband says, I'm not going to eat dessert anymore, right? Takes a nether, I'm not going to have potato chips. I'm not going to have, I don't know, whatever it is. I'm not going to have that thing. So, no, that's fine. You do your thing. But no one in the house is bound by your nether, right? It's a personal thing. So if you're Kabbalah Shabbos, again, we were talking about how Bitoras nether wants to Sefer Shabbos is. So you go to shul, you're Mekabel Shabbos. That has no bearings on me. You do your thing, that's fine. And I'm going to be Mekabel Shabbos whenever I want to. However, Rav Moshe notes three potential issues with the Kabbalah Shabbos of one's husband. So the first one is the following. He notes a Gemara that says that an Eved, a slave, can't do malacha for his Adon when it's Shabbos for the master. Meaning, if the Adon is accepting Shabbos, the Eved cannot do malacha for the Adon once the Adon has accepted Shabbos. The Eved can do malacha for himself, but would not be able to do malacha for his Adon. So Rav Moshe says, and so too, one's a wife to a spouse. Now, chas v'shalom, to compare, let's say, a wife to an eved, that's not what Rav Moshe Feinstein's doing, but rather to understand that a husband accepts the schar avoda, right? In the ksuva, it says that he's taking anything that she does. It's gonna go basically into his pocket. And the assumption was at the time that the ksuva was instituted, so that wasn't such a significant amount of money. And in return, the husband is going to take care of the woman, whatever she needs, food, clothing, etc., he's going to provide for her, right? So really, the whole notion of ksuva was really for the benefit of the woman, to make sure, Chazal wanted to make sure that she had everything she could possibly need. So the idea here is that, so if she's doing malacha, maybe she's allowed to do malacha for herself, but she can't do malacha that's for her husband once the husband has been mekabel Shabbos. That's idea number one. We're going to go through the points Rav Moshe makes, and then we're going to go through people who may disagree with Rav Moshe. The other point Rav Moshe makes is, why is the person being Mekabel Shabbos early? Right? Is it really because it's Tosefa Shabbos and there's a Minach HaMakom that the community is always Mekabel Shabbos at this time? Right? That's another point. And then the third point is the Kabbalah Shabbos really out of convenience? For whatever reason, you want to go to this minyan, or you want the kids to be able to stay up at the Shabbos table, something like that. You have to figure out why the person is being Mekabel Shabbos. But let's work backwards for a second. I'll put into the chat at the end, because there's a fascinating tshuva by Rav Schechter when he was paskening in the midst of Corona, all these different questions that were coming up. He discusses this Rav Moshe tshuva at length, but just to understand, Rav Vosner first says that a woman has to, you know, whatever her husband is doing, however he's going to be Mekabel Shabbos. So if I'm not mistaken, I remember correctly, that Rav Vosner says that she is going to do what her husband does. Am I saying that properly? I think so. I think that's what Rav Vosner says. Nonetheless, let's check out Rav Schechter, because Rav Schechter says something very interesting. He says, if you look in the Torah, he says the notion of shvisa, of resting, so who does it apply to? There's shvisas avadim. Your slaves have to rest on Shabbos, they can't do work for you. There's shvisas behema, your animals can't do work for you. And there's also shvisas ketanim, you can't have children doing malacha either. But what's the common denominator between all three of those, the three categories of people? So they're not chayiv in Shabbos at all. So since they're not chayiv in Shabbos, it's not right that someone not chayiv in Shabbos is going to be doing something for you when it's Shabbos for you. But says Rav Schechter, a woman is also chayiv in Shabbos. So you're doing your thing, you're Mekabel Shabbos, your Kabbalah Shabbos has no bearings on your wife, because she has her own independent chiyuv of what? Of Shabbos. Meaning, even if your wife, says Rav Moshe, wasn't married to you, or excuse me, says Rav Schechter, wasn't married to you, she would also be chayiv in Shabbos. So you're, the man's Kabbalah Shabbos has no bearings on the woman, and therefore she can keep Shabbos whenever she wants, right? So let's just break that down. Rav Moshe holds that a woman is not bound by her husband's Kabbalah Shabbos, but she's not allowed to do malacha for him. Meaning she can still do malacha in the house, but can't do something specifically for him. Rav Vosner says that she has to follow whatever her husband does. And Rav Schechter says, no, it's totally different. She's not bound by his Kabbalah Shabbos at all. Then, let's understand what's going on here. The second question was what? The second question is, if it's a Tosefa Shabbos, and it's why are they being Mekabel Shabbos early? Is it really a full-fledged din of Tosefa Shabbos and it's the Minog HaMokom? If that's the case, she should follow it. I'll read you the line in Rav Moshe. And he says like this. I can actually pull it up here. I have it in my notes. Just give me a second. Let's find it. It's nice to see things inside every once in a while. Here we go. Share screen. Okay. V'hanochon la'anies daiti. V'hanochon la'anies daiti. De'im ma shekiblu Shabbos bebeis ha'kneses shemispalel ha'ba'al hu lekavonos mitzvah lekedushas ha'Shabbos shiyeh tosefes yosir gadol. So says Rav Moshe, I understand that if you have to look at why they're being Mekabel Shabbos early. If the kavana of the shul of the community, because they want to have Tosefa Shabbos. Or they're concerned, they want to make sure nobody's going to get too caught up in the malachos that they're doing Erev Shabbos. And this is a bona fide minhag. So then, that would be one thing. They would be like any other minhag. A woman is accepting upon herself based on the minhagim of her husband. Now, Rav Schechter, if I understand correctly, takes issue with this as well. And he explains that there are different types of minhagim, meaning there are minhagim that are unique to the husband in the sense that these are communal minhagim, such as, let's say, kitnios, or let's say, how long waits between milk and meat, something like that. That's not a personal minhag. You can't do hataras nedarim on something like that. You decide one day you're very hungry and you want to have, I don't know, you want to have your coffee with your creamer, and you had fleishiks for lunch, you can't do hataras and darim to have your 3 o'clock coffee. It doesn't work like that. That's the communal minhag. So there are different elements, or different, I would say, categories of minhagim. And there are also personal. There are also personal types of minhagim, right? That the husband has no bearings on, such as how many candles a woman lights on Erev Shabbos. We spoke about this again many months ago, but that's not dependent upon the husband's minhagim. The wife does what her mother did. She follows her own practice, and then the same thing with tefillos. The idea is that there are different categories of minhagim as well. And Rav Shechter doesn't think that doing the Kabbalah Shabbos, if I remember correctly, Rav Shechter would disagree with this point also. Kabbalah Shabbos isn't going to be that same sort of minhag, and therefore she's not going to follow her husband's Kabbalah. The last point that Rav Moshe makes is the following. The last point that Rav Moshe makes is like this. Just to make sure we're getting it. The imrak nizdamin shebishabbos zo hechmiru me'izet tam lekabel Shabbos kodem in ze bedine minhag velo nimshechas acher habal umuteres b'maleches Atzma Bipshitas, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that let's say they're not being Mekabel Shabbos because that's what they do every single week. Rather, they're being Mekabel Shabbos because that's what's convenient this week. So that doesn't have, again, Rav Moshe's understanding that the minhag takes full force. But if it's not a real bona fide minhag, and it happens to be convenient for this 1 week, so then the wife is not going to be bound by that Kabbalah or Tosefa Shabbos, and she can do, again, whatever she wants, provided that it's not for her husband. That's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Shechter is going to disagree and says, the husband can do whatever type of Kabbalah Shabbos he wants, and she's not going to be bound by that. Now, it's interesting because there is one kenach here. If you drive into a town, the assumption is if there's one shul in town, right? And the shul, the community, makes early Shabbos every single week, so that would have the effect of a minhag hamakom. That's a more of a chazak sort of minhag. But Rav Moshe says like this. Let's say you drive into a camp, right? So camps very often make early Shabbos. Why do camps make early Shabbos though? Probably not because they're so pumped about Tosefa Shabbos that they're making Shabbos at 6 o'clock camp time, whatever, I never knew what camp time means, but they're making early Shabbos, right? So why are they doing it? Presumably so they can still have like a night activity, a tish and oneg, some sort of, whatever they do, some sort of activity on a Friday night. It's not simply because of Tosefa Shabbos. And because of that, Rav Moshe says, let's say you're driving to the camp and you realize you're going to get there a little bit late. So that would, in theory, be a problem, right? Because you're driving into a community, i.e. this camp, that is Mekabel Shabbos altogether at one time. But because they're not being Mekabel Shabbos through a minhag hamakom, a bona fide reason of Tosefa Shabbos, but because there is a convenience factor here, you would not be bound by their Kabbalah Shabbos, and you can probably drive into the parking lot and it wouldn't be a problem. Rav Shechter, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter and Rav Shlomo Zalman disagree. They reject that opinion of Rav Moshe, and they paskin that if the entire community accepts Shabbos early, so then you're going to be obligated to follow that minhag, again, even if that would mean getting out of your car and walking to, wherever the beginning of camp is. But that's a little bit, right? Just to summarize, Rav Moshe holds that a woman would, if her husband is making early Shabbos, so she would not have to be Mekabel Shabbos at that time, but she would not be able to do Malacha for her husband. Rav Azar would say that a woman is bound by her husband's Kabbal Shabbos, and Rav Shechter says, no, they're two independent chiyuvim of Shabbos. A husband is obligated in keeping Shabbos. A woman, the wife, is obligated in keeping Shabbos. And just because the husband is deciding to do Tosefa Shabbos does not mean his wife would be bound by that. So that's a little bit in terms of Tosefa Shabbos. Again, let's just do a quick chazar. We spoke about the mitzvah of Tosefa Shabbos, and one should articulate, according to the Mishnah Berurah, their Kabbalah Shabbos. We spoke about my issue of accepting Shabbos on the way to shul, thinking that, Baruch Hashem, I got Tosefa Shabbos, and then realizing I didn't daven mincha yet, so what did I just do? Did I mess myself over? So that is a potential issue. We spoke about whether or not, right, how was I mekabel? Was it mentally? Was it verbally? Did I light Shabbos candles? That might also play a role there and be a factor. We spoke about the nature of Tosefa Shabbos and whether I could do Hataras Nedarim in that situation. Is it my own personal neder, my own halachic reality? Or is it an objective halachic reality? Again, to do Hataras Nedarim, to allow me to daven mincha, would be the question. We spoke about how early can one accept Shabbos. As we said, we learned about Tarte Desasri to make sure that there's not mincha marv in conflicting time periods. or in one conflicting time period to make sure Mincha is going to be earlier and Kabbalah Shabbos Maariv is after Plag, or if Mincha is going to be after Plag to make sure Kabbalah Shabbos Maariv is after Shkia. And we spoke a little bit about being Mekabel Shabbos at different times, two spouses being Mekabel Shabbos at different times. Again, all questions Halacha L'maisha should be directed towards your local Orthodox rabbis, but this is a little bit of background to be a little bit more familiar with the topic, okay? I'm not sure if there's Shir next week prior to Shavuos. I'm not sure if there is a Neely Shir. I don't know what Emma, so I have to check with Emma and in the Kola office. But if I see you next week, great. And if not, I will see you when I see you. Okay, everyone have a fantastic week.
Thank you. Have a good Yom Yerushalayim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.